Welcome to the 3030 Health Podcast. The following discussion is for education and entertainment. It is not intended to diagnose or treat disease. Please do not apply any of this information without first discussing it with your doctor. Here is your host, Guillermo Ruiz.
Hello everyone, today's guests are Rob Abbott and Melanie Dorian, and they are here to talk about their new book about functional medicine. Rob is about to start his family medicine residency in Virginia. He approaches medicine from an evolutionary and functional perspective and sees mindfulness and unified spirituality as a way of being. He seeks to promote self-care and resilience in health science students through the practices of mindfulness, yoga, compassion, and spirituality. Melanie's approach is grounded in nursing, functional, and naturopathic medicine philosophies. She studied naturopathic medicine at Bastyr University in Washington before doing her nurse practitioner's degree at Seattle University. She's a member of the Obesity Medicine Association and the Institute for Functional Medicine and has received advanced training in obesity management, nutrition, exercise science, and methylation genetics. Stick to the end of the show and we're gonna be giving away this free PDF so you can get started on this functional medicine approach. And remember, if you enjoyed the show, leave a review on iTunes and visit my website at www.3030strong.com. Thank you and enjoy the show. I have two of my friends right here, and we're gonna have such a cool show today because we're gonna tackle the three-headed monster. We're gonna go around this functional medicine platform and how can we make it more accessible for our listeners. So I have Melanie Dorian and Rob Abbott, and these guys are putting together some documents in order to help patients and practitioners navigate through all of this stuff that we call functional medicine. But before we start this conversation, I want to start with your hero story. How did you get into this functional medicine movement? So Dorian, ladies first.
Thank you. I got through this to this medicine actually by myself being sick and injured as a professional cyclist. And I got to a point where I was really burnt out and no one was helping me, even national team doctors, you name it. No one could figure out what's going on. And it was only through the help of a naturopathic physician that I was actually able to get better, get back on my bike and compete again. And through that really generated a great passion in me that I needed to study this, but I wasn't sure exactly how to go about it. So then I did my undergrad as a pre-med biochem major, and I did 3 years at Bastyr University in naturopathic medicine, and realizing I was going to move back east and naturopathic medicine is unfortunately not licensed, switched to nurse practitioner, which really offered me the quickest way to get the broadest scope of practice. And then I became incredibly passionate very quickly about helping people. I'm in Virginia and it's really central Virginia, very rural. There's no one else in my area practicing functional medicine. So I got busy really quickly and just really saw some real true suffering where people were just not being helped, not being heard. No comprehensive or integrative approach was ever offered to these patients. So through my own suffering and rehab in a way from conventional medicine, really seeing there was a different way, I was able to offer that to a lot of my patients, and I do every day. So really my passion comes from just my own suffering and getting help from acupuncturists and naturopaths and seeing how this can actually be done differently and how it brought my health back really quickly. So now I get to do that every day, which is incredible. And I really utilize all the tools I learned, biochemistry from undergrad all the way to naturopathic medicine. And I use a lot of also conventional tools. It's not about just being in one area. It's about utilizing all the tools, whatever they are, just use what's going to help the patient. So I pull from every field that I can.
And, you know, I don't like the term alternative medicine. Medicine either works or it doesn't. And medicine that doesn't work is not an alternative. It's not working medicine. So I like to call any of those tools, whether it's acupuncture for the right reasons, whether it's mind-body medicine, whether those are not alternatives to medicine. Those are actual tools that we can use as medicine. And then we also have Rob Abbott, and he's an allopath, guys. So you know how much we hate allopaths.
Man, well, I was also have to first say, I mean, it's kind of funny. I still get chills listening. I'm such good friends with Melanie, but still hearing her story and, you know, her own approach and coming to this space. And we all have such unique stories and how we got here. Mine really started just, you know, so I started allopathic medical school at the University of Virginia and was super high functioning, doing everything that they asked of me, you know, knee deep in biochemistry. I was doing really well, and but sort of suffered some quite major personal health issues, some psychiatric. I just like could not study. I was so anxious and physically was kind of wasting away. You know, you have that medical school syndrome where you think you have everything that you're learning about. So I definitely had cancer and like hyperthyroidism and celiac, you know, just the whole gamut. And, you know, I make all these jokes.
Health professionals, we have chronic hypochondria.
we definitely do. It's funny now looking back from the functional framework, I did have quite a few instigators and, you know, antecedents and some triggers that went along that led me to that. But at the time, it was sort of a very narrow view. But actually, ended up taking a year off from school. I just needed to get my life back. And during that year away, I found so many, alternative, so many
complementary
approaches to wellness. I started doing mindfulness and yoga daily at my own practice. I totally changed how I ate. I was kind of stuck in the low fat, like calorie counting, just, you know, a little orthorexic type of, you know, mentality. And I was a chronic cardio guy too, riding my bike, totally switched to lifting weights and this really nourishing activity outdoors. Started spending time with my friends, really deep social connection. Got involved with the church and just kind of broadened my spiritual focus, but mainly got it just completely absorbed with all these podcasts from people who were not in traditional medicine, and they had all the answers. And I was just like, why are you not giving our lectures? This just makes so much sense. Why am I not being told this story in traditional medicine? And so it kind of, on one hand, gave me a little bit of a sense of betrayal. I'm like, I'm not getting the whole story, but it also showed me this light where, you know, as soon as I came back to school, I, you know, totally knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a functional doctor. I was going to go into family medicine. I saw within the allopathic system that was my path to help people. And I was going to be really competent at what allopathic medicine would provide. I wanted to, you know, I'm not going to be able to come in here and be all woo-woo and ask people to, you know, do yoga and sit on the floor if I don't know my medications, if I don't know no indications for certain surgeries. So I was going to do that hardcore, but, you know, I had this light of what ultimately I wanted to provide for people. And along the way, you know, in my training, you know, was able to reach out to people in the community and find a couple of local physicians, including Melanie, who just were doing this medicine. And I remember getting into her office and just being so overwhelmed because it was the first time really I'd been able to work with someone who was doing a functional approach. I mean, up to that point, it was kind of my own silo in school. No one really kind of spoke the same language. And it was just like, there are people here that exist. You know, you might be the only one, but like you do exist. And it gave me the space to really clinically put to practice all this knowledge base. And it's something I hope we can, you know, get into to talk a little bit about, but just having that clinical experience, I am so grateful to have that because, you know, we can't be doctors from the internet. We can't just simply read and think we understand and be these, you know, Dr. YouTubes and, yeah, Dr. Google's and these kind of folks. So yeah. Having that clinical space and working with her has been so nourishing.
I put him to work real fast. Research this now.
I remember visiting SCNM. That's where I'm going to school. I got 15 weeks, guys. Nice. 15 weeks. And flying from Florida all the way to Arizona, across the country, sitting down in a student for a day kind of classroom, and I look up, and everyone had mason jars. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I could hear Hagrid in the background saying, "You're a wizard, Harry," you know, because I finally found my tribe. And I was, you know, I was in the emergency room and doing amazing things with emergency medicine, you know, miraculous things. At the same time, we discharged these patients with eat a healthy diet. What does that mean? Yeah, and we really lose track of, you know, what that balance. At the same time, when you don't have a practitioner, it is awesome that patients are more educated. Information technology has made this world so much smaller, and we can connect with people like Rob Wolf and, you know, but Mike Ritter out of Tampa, he is a personal trainer, and he was asking, how do we approach our doctors to give us dysfunctional labs? Because there is a hierarchy. And as practitioners, we have to be a little bit more humble. We have a license to diagnose and prescribe and do things like that. And then when a patient comes in who has been with themselves for their whole life and they ask, hey, I think I might have something, you know, with my thyroid antibodies. And now the doctor is like, oh, no, you don't, you know, because I know better than you. I went to medical school. So in a perfect world, how do you guys balance that? How do you balance the chronic hypochondria and trying to find out what really is the underlying cause of someone's health problems when they're asking you for thousands of dollars worth of labs?
For me, one of my most inspiring moments was in Bastyr, and one of the professors there said, listen, these patients have been with their bodies for a long time. And a lot of them have spent a lot of time thinking about it, researching it, you name it, not always good. But at the same time, what if you ask them, what do you think is going on? That's it. Just have an open mind, but then you have to continue having an open mind. So allowing the space for the patient to really tell their stories, and this is where functional medicine shines. You have to allow a lot of space for the patient to not only tell their symptoms, but the story. I've caught probably more dysfunction with the stories than I did with just the symptom. The stories of, whoa, that house you're talking about back then, that's mold illness. But they never talked about that, and their symptoms aren't textbook. So the story is really important. And then just asking them, what do you think is going on? Especially if things are too confusing, they'll have some really good insights. And sometimes it is really helpful to ask them that. And just keeping an open mind, gosh, I can't tell you how many times keeping an open mind has been really helpful, because I figured out I missed something. And some of my first patients that I had, and I was hired at my clinic to be the functional and integrative person. So I was given right away, right off the bat, fresh out of school, the toughest of the tough of this clinic. And some of my first two patients, I missed stuff right at the beginning. And it was only a year later, I acquired a year of experience. And then I stepped back and I told the patient, I'm missing something. What do you think is going on? And that was some of the most valuable information. And these two patients, and I know who they are, I'm thinking about them so clearly, they are now better 6 to 12 months later, because we figured out what was actually going on. And it wasn't they needed more testosterone, more this, more that. It's like, back off of all this. Let's stop all supplements. And let's just start fresh. What do you think is going on? Let's go back. And I redid the history for both of these patients. I took 45-minute visits, redid the entire history. How were you born? What happened? How many ear infections? You name it. It was tedious. But only through that did I figure out one of them. She was on 9/11 grounds, got exposed to so many toxins. All her psych issues started after that. So I backed off of everything of hormonals that she had been brought to me with hormonal imbalances. I'm like, your issue is toxins. And now she bought an infrared sauna. I mean, she's losing weight without even trying anymore. She's off of most psych meds. She's thriving. So, you know, this is a great example of, listen, you got to listen to the story and you got to do a thorough history. And you got to have an open mind.
Before we jump to Rob, okay, I want to ask you, you said something about birth story. You know, that's not something that you got to get into in a 5-minute visit. What kind of insights can you get from a birth story? Just for our listeners, you know, that might be thinking, why does she need to know if I was breastfed or if I had a vaginal if I was delivered vaginal? What kind of stuff can you get from that? As a practitioner,
for me, it's really just a predisposition to illness. If you're going to have a weakened immune system right off the bat, born from a C-section, mom was given antibiotics through IV, the stress is high right away. You're born in a high cortisol state, you're ripped of all your natural flora. So right away, you're predisposed to certain things. And I definitely see patterns. People are more prone to URIs. And you know, there's definitely a pattern with issues with insulin resistance and weight issues, because I'm also a weight management specialist, so I see a lot of that. And just understanding that not necessarily it's going to change exactly what you do, but you might put a lot more emphasis on the gut health. Not that we don't in naturopathic and integrative and functional medicine, but you're really going to emphasize gut health. If they were born under a ton of stress, they're going to need ongoing adrenal support. Their gut was a wreck. Their mom's gut was a wreck. I mean, all that was passed back and forth for months and months. So they're going to need a lot more TLC, a lot more support with the HPA axis and with their GI. So understanding that for me also helped me understand that this patient was probably not detoxing. I really did. I also went into, all right, she was born this way. She was exposed to this 9/11. I'm going to have to do genetics on her. This is one of those patients. I cannot not know what her detox genetics and her methylation status is. So I did that. And all these things were actually really critical in us understanding what was going on. I mean, her lead and mercury were through the roof, cadmium, you name it. So understanding she already compromised as a baby, as an infant, as a child, and then that 9/11 exposure is just, that was it. After that, she was never as healthy as she could be. So I just started from the beginning and just understanding that I told her, you're going to need ongoing support for your gut. So she rotates constantly fermented foods. She's starting to ferment her own food. She's going to need ongoing detox. She's the one who invested in infrared sauna that she has in her house. She does it weekly, you know, all these things. And now she's finally starting to thrive. I've been working with her for 3 years now.
And that's one question that gave you so much insight.
Yeah. I mean, it was redoing an entire history, but really understanding how she was born. Those two things, how she was born, and then that really that high toxin exposure that I had missed. I had missed that.
Rob, so how do you want your patients to approach you when they want, you know, so funny story, back when I was in Orlando, I was getting into this whole paleo and functional medicine, and I wanted to know my testosterone levels and my androgens and, you know, cortisol. So I went to my doctor and I had a list of all the things that I wanted, and he fired me. He said, I think you're going to utilize this information for things that I don't approve for. You know, you are young, you don't need testosterone replacement. So you're going to have to find a different physician. I was about to move to Arizona to start medical school, and I wanted to know my status, you know, it's data. But how do you want your patients to approach you with this once you're in practice?
Yeah, it's an incredible question. I have this concept nowadays of we're inundated with so much information. We've kind of alluded to the fact that there's so much out there. And on one hand, I want my patients to be informed, but what does that really mean? And unfortunately, there's this divide between being uninformed, so having kind of blissful ignorance, versus being misinformed. And somewhere in between is that true state of being informed, being engaged. And right now we have so much information, it's easier to be misinformed than to be uninformed. It's almost actually, I'd say it would be, you know, really hard to be uninformed nowadays. You must be like kind of living under a rock or in a cave. But so oftentimes I'm seeing patients who from a traditional standpoint may be perceived as being uninformed because they don't actually, the clinician doesn't even ask the question of, or would you be interested in a more natural approach? Or, you know, ask questions about spirituality, you know, questions about nature, things that may lead a discussion down a path where you suddenly discover your patient actually has been doing herbals and supplements. And, you know, you might have technically asked them in your history, are you taking anything over the counter, are you taking any herbs? But they feel so uncomfortable if they say something that you're gonna take them off as a physician, that they make no comment. But something when you create a therapeutic space and really get to know them, they start telling you all these things that they've been reading about. And so, you know, I want to create a space where I can have people share everything that they know. And so I would like for them to come in informed. Unfortunately, we sort of, you know, like I said, lean to being potentially misinformed because there's so much, or perceived as being completely uninformed. And trying to get people engaged and empowered, you know, you have to provide a space for that information. You have to be a teacher, a facilitator, and whether that's through direct interaction content or leading people to sources that are more evidence-based or validated, you have to provide that space, but you also got to provide the encouragement and say, like, look, it's not my job to, you know, do all this teaching for you. I'm not going to be able to hold your hand and make kombucha with you. I can point you in the direction if that's what you want to do, but I'm not going to be in your kitchen making kombucha. And so that kind of idea of, you know, wanting to engage and empower a patient who's informed, you know, kind of led me to want to create this free sort of functional integrative medicine resource. Because, you know, I went through that whole process. I went down all the rabbit holes. I started learning, listening to podcasts, and you find someone on this podcast and then he interviews this other guy and you're like, man, I gotta go check out his blog. And just was taking notes and notebooks and highlighting. It was like I was in school. It was so crazy. But I saw the whole spectrum. I saw things that were very valuable, really great resources, really directed towards patients, and other things that were sort of, you know, we a little quackery, maybe a little bit off, kind of, you know, let me sell this supplement, a lot of self, you know, portrayal and marketing. And I was like, well, how can I distill all of this experience down and share it to as wide of an audience as possible? So one hand, directing it towards patients to say, hey, now this is my approach. These are people, you know, in my tribe, so to speak, who I really feel I resonate with. And I would love for you to read about some of the resources or listen to a podcast and discover more about it. And on the same hand, be able to also give it to students, give it to other clinicians, and basically just completely share these resources and say, like, look, there's other things out there. You don't have to go to $1,000, $2,000 training to get what you perceive or what's portrayed as the ultimate, you know, certification. There's some foundational knowledge that's out there. And, you know, I don't want you to have to weed through all that mess. I've already done that crazy rabbit hole search. And yes, there's new things that come up every day, but here's a great distillation of what's out there that can really help you and get you started. And so that's really what kind of spawned this whole project and trying to give back.
So let's talk about this project that you guys have put together. Okay, so first, who is it for? And then you say that you've distilled all this information. Okay, and then once, how can people get it? And most importantly, how do you foresee people using it?
Yeah, so basically, I honestly see this as being first wide of an audience, like a marketing ploy, but I have nothing to market. And I truly feel like it's a great source of information for anyone. So we talked about for patients, I have this concept of either no time or no filter. Now, relatively speaking, you know, we talk about our patients, they have time to research, but they oftentimes don't have a filter. So this hopefully is that filter for them. It's, hey, go here, read this, here are some things, see what you find interesting. When it comes to being a resource for students, I myself know a third year student who's, you know, knee deep in their clerkships and suddenly decides that, oh man, this isn't the whole story. I kind of want to learn more about lifestyle medicine. You're not going to have 3 hours, 4 hours, a whole week vacation to go and suddenly listen to all these podcasts and discover what it is. And so I want to provide for them who they have no time and they also really don't have the filter. They've been kind of fed this message of everything is evidence-based. It has to be coming from these three sources. Otherwise, it's not valid. And here's some open windows. Here's a filter, but let me give you this because I recognize you have no time.
And money. They have no money.
And no money.
No
yes.
Money. Oh, my goodness.
No time and actually negative money. Like, yeah. What we were talking about earlier. Just, yeah. 200 and some thousand. Yeah. Just, yeah. You know, we'll blame that on the government. But so, you know, so those two groups really come to mind, but also, you know, to fellow clinicians and to other people in your health system. So I come across so many people in my hospital. I have such a wide view. I spend very little time actually talking to MD or medicine, traditional medicine people. I spend time with physical therapists. I spend time with occupational therapists. I love the speech pathologist. I mean, just anybody, nurse anesthetist. I'm spending so much time talking to them, and they're often the ones that have this maybe a whole holistic approach, or at least a different view of their role. And I see that, you know, in the same way that we can be giving this to, you know, students, we can be providing this to other clinicians, and one way engaging them in their own self-care journey, because that's often how you get into this space. It's like, man, I want to find what works for me, and then you have that experiential learning of, this is how I can take care of myself. This is what I should be teaching and offering patients. And you start planting little seeds into people within the healthcare, you know, arena, and all of a sudden you can just have this explosion of people that really, you know, change the way that they approach their job. And they might have a title of, you know, yeah, nurse anesthetist, but really what they might be offering you is so much more than an anesthetic and getting into a conversation. So realistically, I see this resource as being, you know, something that all these people and all these groups can really use.
Now, as a practitioner, how would you use this book?
As a practitioner, it really is going to be helpful to narrow down, one, how do you learn? Because he's done that in a really excellent way. His whole document is laid out in a way that, what type of learner are you? And then what are you looking for? For me, if you're a clinician, you want to get a certification, boom, Rob lays it out for you. Here are the sources. Or you just want to listen to a podcast here and there about these topics, he lays it down for you. He lays it out for you. So as a clinician, you get to really pick what you want, what type of information you want, and what type of learner you are. I'm super audio. So for me, podcasts are amazing. If I have to sit down and actually read a document, a PDF, or a PowerPoint, it's like in one ear, out the other. It's just not going to happen. So being able to know that right off the bat, these are the best resources for me. And within that, what are the topics I'm looking for? So I think it's really going to shorten the search. There's a lot of stuff out there. This is a really an intro to some of the best resources that Rob has experienced and that also I've seen out there. So it's really a good way to get right to what you need without wasting, not that it's wasted, but without spending hours searching online what these resources might be. So it's really concise and to the point, what do you need? What's the topic? How do you need to learn it? So it's really accessible to everybody. Patients are also going to benefit from this, but I think it's going to be amazing for clinicians. Whoever gets a hold of that is going to be able to say, listen, I'm better suited for this certification or that, or for this podcast, or for this resource. So for clinicians, it's going to be a huge time saver.
You know, one of the things that I like to say is that you don't have to be a naturopath to be a healer. You don't have to be a doctor to be a healer. You can be a mom and heal your family by changing the recipe box. You can be a yoga instructor that is, or you can be an activist and change the way and start a community garden. And all of these resources, all of these different points of views are laid out in this document. So it's not just for practitioners. It's not just for a student, or it's not just for the patients. It's all of these things meld together. They're one entity. And we have to have one source where we can just all come together to the watering hole and then learn from each other, because I have so much to learn from other practitioners and from my patients. Here at school, we are in a bubble, and you go outside of the campus and you're driving around and you see people smoking and you're like, what's going on? Smoking's still a thing?
But, welcome to the South.
Yeah.
Sodas and cigarettes.
But or sodas, I remember at the hospital, we used to have a cafeteria, and I would drink, no lie, 64 ounces of Diet Coke. But it's zero calories, guys.
On a Splenda high. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Per day. And then we were the ones providing care. And it was until I started listening to podcasts, specifically the Paleo Solution podcasts. I started reading out Paleo. I started at episode 1. And one by one, I listened to all of them. And they build on each other. And this knowledge base starts to accumulate. But then, when a patient comes in and they never heard of paleo or functional medicine or you name it, how do we get them to a place where we can meet? And this is the perfect resource. This is an easy document that I can give my patients and say, highlight, in your take home plan, this, maybe they don't need to listen to Chris Kresser for this specific thing. Maybe the only thing they need is some diet advice and some recipes. So maybe I'll highlight Num Num Paleo. and you can customize it for your patients in order to help them help themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah, I almost see this like it's the new prescription pad. It's just like a blank and you go highlight the section. Like, so yeah, I want you to read a little bit about autoimmune paleo from Sarah Ballantyne, and then here's your recipes, and then And if you're really interested, you want that deep dive, go check out, you know, Chris Masterjohn. But that's my, and then sign it at the bottom. And yeah, here's your prescription.
Learn leaky gut.
Yeah, exactly. And there's going to be common themes for everything. You know, you cannot build a castle on sand. You're going to have to put a foundation. So sleep, exercise, and diet are going to be super important for everyone. And then you're going to customize it. For, you know, we've been talking about functional medicine, and I know what functional medicine is, and you guys have your own definitions of functional medicine. In 30 seconds, you're talking to your new patient who wants, he doesn't want to know anything, they just want to get better. How would you tell them, what is functional medicine? Can you put it in simple terms, how would you describe the type of medicine that you do?
So how I describe what I do to my patients is that this is a comprehensive approach that takes into account diet, lifestyle, who you are, your past, but also pulls from all the different types of medicines that are out there to make you better. So we're going to look at everything that we can, and we're going to utilize all the tools that are going to be the best for you. And that's going to be different for everybody because this is individualized medicine. So it's not one size fits all, but it's also engaging the patient so that there's a lot of responsibility and patients are going to have to learn. So I put a lot of responsibility onto my patients. I tell them this, I'm a coach, I'm a cheerleader. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to give you a lot of suggestions. You're going to have to participate. And it's going to be, you have to participate on a daily basis. I have a lot of ideas. But you're going to have to do these things on a daily basis. And then we're going to modify as things move along. That's my spiel. Rob has heard it many, many, many a time.
How do you lay it out, man?
Yeah, it's she gets people motivated. I mean, she calling her infectious or like her passion contagious is like an understatement. It's she really.
I don't know if in the healthcare field that's a good thing, being contagious.
but yeah, it's that's. I mean, I've seen in what you just said. I've shared that with your patients, and I really can't say it much better. I really kind of boil it down to it's a root cause approach to your wellness and your vitality, and I want to help be a guide on your healing journey. And it's going to involve education, it's going to be engaging, you're going to feel hopefully empowered, and my toolbox starts with your lifestyle. So we're going to dig into your lifestyle. I also have some fancier tests that maybe you haven't heard of before that could help guide our direction. And, you know, I use natural approaches first, you know, food and supplements, but also we can, you know, use drugs. But I'm here to be your guide and to offer you and to push you towards those things that you want to improve on and what you see as, you know, truly your health and your vitality.
You know, one of the things that I want to make clear is that what we are doing is not substituting an herb for a prescription medication, because you do fall into that trap. You know, you can have a patient that might have, you know, the best example that I have is diabetes. Okay, diabetes is the accumulation of blood sugar in your blood, and then your cells are like, no more. I don't want to accept this sugar because it's creating reactive oxygen species that are going to destroy those cells faster than having that circulating blood sugar. So your body, in all its knowledge, decides to downregulate GLUT4 receptors or stop accepting insulin. So you become insulin resistant. So what we do is we give you a drug like metformin to help you accelerate the effects of insulin into the blood cell, into the cell. And now you are bypassing the safety net that your body had created, okay? So in metformin is a great drug. There's really good studies on its anti-aging effects. But what if we, instead of force the body to accept insulin, what if we change your diet, you know? What if we... now, the problem that I see is that you have some practitioners that are like, you know what? I am a natural practitioner. I'm not going to give you insulin. I'm going to give you cinnamon. As if, you do not have a metformin deficiency. You do not have a berberine deficiency. You know, we need to remove obstacles to health. All of those things are tools that could help you push you through the, you know, bump you through this spell of type 2 diabetes. But the goal is not replacement medicine. I'm not trying to replace natural products for pharmaceuticals or the other way around. I am truly looking for the underlying cause of your problem. And if the underlying cause of your problem is high levels of blood glucose, then we need to remove that glucose from the blood. And the best way of doing it is through diet. You know, and that's where, you know, the term allopath, you know, it's kind of, you know, treating it's almost like a bad term. You know, I don't like using it. You know, it's funny that you call yourself an allopath, but self-deprecating humor is fantastic. But we, and then naturopath, and then other terms like that. And I think that creates a divide, you know, and that's why I love functional medicine, you know, because now you can be an acupuncturist that is practicing functional medicine like Chris Kresser. You can be a chiropractic doctor that is practicing functional medicine like Dr. Ruscio. You can be, you know, a medical student that is aiming to practice, or a naturopathic medical student, or a nurse practitioner. And we can all, we know exactly what we're talking about. We're not talking about replacing an herb for a prescription. We are talking about removing obstacles to health. And that's
absolutely
the goal.
And I tell that to my patients often. I said, this XYZ, either a medication or a supplement, we're buying yourself some time. We're getting you out of trouble. We're taking the burden off your system, so you have a bit more time to do the diet and lifestyle piece that is critical. That's really the life-changing piece. So we're going to buy you some time. We're going to take a little bit of pressure off the system. But the goal is not to keep you on this. The goal is to take you off so that your cells can function properly. Your mitochondria are going to thrive again. Your muscles are going to function. You're going to be able to exercise. But sometimes they need help at the beginning. But I try and be clear that this is not forever. This is to get out of this dysfunction that you're in, and to really then support yourself for health via hopefully maybe just a multivitamin, or just if you have a bunch of methylation defects, just a methylated B complex.
Or magnesium, but, you know, it's really hard to get magnesium.
Exactly. So it has to be clear with the patient that it's not just green medicine of I'm going to do an herbal versus a medication. Yes, we can do those. It's helpful. It gets you out of trouble, but the goal is not to keep you on that stuff. And I really try and be clear with my patients. I'm going to have lower intervention means that I'm going to use on you, but the goal is to go back to that pyramid of diet and lifestyle as the base. I want to go back to that, support you all your needs as much as we can with the base of the pyramid, diet and lifestyle. So this is really important for anyone who's listening, who's getting into this medicine. What we do is not replace a medication by an herbal. We try, yes, if that's what we choose to do, that's fine. But the goal is not to keep people on that. So often I also patients just want that, and then they want to leave and not get better. I say, no, not in my office. You're going to have to take charge. We're going to get you off this. And I keep people accountable. I keep my patients accountable.
Rob, but this type of medicine is really expensive. How do you justify the cost up front?
Yeah, so that's an amazing question. And it's been something, you know, very knee deep. I keep coming back to that. I say that way too much, but you know, in the insurance motto, we've really lost sight of what anything costs nowadays. And we've created this sense of entitlement that my drugs only cost $4 at Walmart. And I sometimes ask patients, I was like, do you think it really only costs $4 to make 3 month supply of your atorvastatin? And you know, and then they stop and they realize like, you're right. Maybe it's $8. But the question, the real, you know, issue here is we've created a little bit of a monster of one, yes, a pill for an ill, but that, you know, medicine has to be really cheap, and that we are being ripped off when all of a sudden our insurance, you know, co-pays and all these things get, you know, really high, or that, you know, I only should pay $15 for my visit to the primary care doctor, and I see him for 30 minutes. And so 30 minutes of his time and the nurses and everyone involved, it's only worth 15. It's really actually only $15. And so I think when in this space for functional medicine or natural medicine, when you get the empowerment and engagement and people realize that they have to take ownership of their health and they can actually be a consumer of, you know, in healthcare. It suddenly actually is, you kind of give them new strength because they're like, well, I'm willing to invest in myself. I'm willing to give this money to my practitioners. I'm going to buy these supplements. I'm going to spend this money on organic produce or organic dairy. And maybe I wasn't entitled to all of those things that this system had. And actually leaving it behind is kind of is freeing. And so, you know, some people, it's very difficult process. We are quite attached to, we created America, you know, we want things cheap, we want value. Mm-hmm. And so part of the process of education is like laying that foundation of lifestyle, you know, that ultimately is, you know, we're not adding supplements, you know, extra cost, extra burden. So if we can focus at the lifestyle level, then I think we can do cost-effective medicine. But yes, we've created this entitlement monster, and the insurance system has just kind of reinforced it. And now people are giving this backlash about the total cost of their care. And it's because we really realistically aren't true consumers. And so however we can help to educate and reform the system and empower people and give them that freedom to truly decide where it is that they want to spend their financial resources for their well-being.
You know,
I tell patients all the time, you're going to pay for your health one way or another, pay to prevent illness, or are you going to pay in illness and disease? So invest in your health now. And yeah, it may seem expensive to buy an actually high quality fish oil, but I bet I assure you, you're going to get more for your money. So I often explain to patients, especially if they're not quite really ill, but they're heading that way, hey, listen, you're going to pay for your health. Either you're going to invest now, you're going to invest in outdoor activities, healthy foods, XYZ healthy supplement, and you're going to prevent illness, or later on, if this road continues that you're on, you're going to pay for your health and a lot more expensive bill, you know, surgeries, you name it, loss of income, loss of days at work. So I explain to patients, you're going to pay for your health. And if you pay now in a good way, invest, it's an investment right now. You're not going into debt. You're going to pay, yes, but you're going to actually benefit from it versus just pay in an illness with hospital bills and illnesses and loss of income. So I tell patients, your health is going to cost you one way or another. Either you invest in health or you invest in illness, really. So I think that fits.
And this is
not everyone likes to hear that.
This is not imaginary money. This is no. Actual dollars. You know, people, you can see commercials for like the new TV that's coming out around the Super Bowl season. And we drop $5,000 on a TV, and then we are upset because a lab will cost us $150 when, you know, the TV is going to last you what, you know, 10 years, 8 years, and your life is going to last you your life, you know? So we need to make, you know, invest that money, like you said, and in order to do that, yeah, we do have to spend a little bit of money on our health, and we need to spend money on on our food. And Rob said something really important. You know, he said, do you think that prescription medication is really $4? Do you think that loaf of bread is really 88 cents? You know, if you think about it, all those subsidies, all of those things that are creating these fake markets that put you in an inflammatory state, someone's paying for it. And we can pay, you know, and that's the coolest thing about, you know, having control of your diet. That's the, you know, freedom is the number one thing that the paleo diet gave me. Because if I see the scale going up, I know what to do in order to reverse that. And before that, I did not know how to control my weight. And that was a big burden. So when you go out and buy some gluten-free pizza that you're going to be paying three times as much than your regular pizza, you're paying that upfront. And you're going to save that money, but not dying on a hospital bed, you know, missing a leg or blind. And that's real money.
Yeah. It is.
No, Guillermo, I have a really interesting example, and it's a sad one on one hand, but also it kind of, to me, it just gives me hope that there is a possibility to truly invest in wellness. And I'll give an example. I was, you know, in a dermatology clinic, and much of what we see in dermatology is actually very immune mediated. It's either skin cancer or the sequela of autoimmune disease. So many patients are coming in and are getting these new TNF-alpha injections, these TNF-alpha inhibitors. And the price tag for one injection, I don't know the exact, but I'll put it in the ballpark of $5,000 to $10,000 a month. What if you took one monthly injection, the cost of one monthly injection, and gave that person, here's $7,500. I'm going to put $2,000 of that to organic produce. I'm going to get you a personal trainer. I'm going to, you can use this money to take a vacation. Go, you know, because we have this, you know, deficiency of being outside, get a membership to a garden club. But what if we reinvested those resources into those foundational pieces of lifestyle? And it just, I mean, on one hand, it seems impossible. On the other hand, it seems to me like that's the only way we could ever, like really get wellness. And so I give that example. It's sort of it's ridiculous, the scale. And, you know, but when you only have 10 minutes with someone, you can't have a conversation about, you know, diet and lifestyle. All you can really offer them is an injection. And so we created a monster of a system where we can't expect doctors to talk about diet and lifestyle because they're only seeing patients for 15 minutes. And so there's so much within that I've seen is broken, but there is a lot of hope. And maybe we'll get to a place with public policy and public health. And, you know, part of me is like, you know, maybe one day can get to a level where you can really institute big public policy changes where you get rid of subsidies for, you know, corn and soy and wheat, and actually, you know, pay for organic produce for farmers to grow vegetables, and to really put forth a food pyramid that's reflective of maybe what we should really be eating, and change that message from a very high level, and make food stamps able to buy the fruits and vegetables, or making them go much farther for buying those foods than for, you know, for sugar sweetened foods. And there's so much possibility out there, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there for people to chew on.
Where we are right now is really dark, you know, but this conversation is the future of medicine. There are practitioners, there's going to be 80 kids graduating in 15 weeks that think very similar to us. Yeah. You know, and I'm interviewing two different professions right now that are speaking my same language. So I want to end this on a high note. Okay, I want you guys to give me why we should go into healthcare, because it's, you know, if someone told me that story, I would be like, you know what, I'm just gonna go into investment banking. But I want each one of you guys to tell me why you wanted to come into healthcare, why you want more people to go download this ebook and start reading and learning so we can heal the world. So go ahead.
For me, it was simple. I wanted to kick ass again. As an athlete, as a person, I got to the point where I felt like I sucked, and I wanted to kick ass, and I want to give that to people. I want to give that to people. And I tell that to my people. I said, listen, you're meant to thrive. I don't know what your field is, but you're going to thrive. But just believe in it and go out there and kick some ass. And that's really what it is for me, is facilitating that for patients. Yeah, I get really excited at the thought of that, of just helping someone. It's not just for athletes. My background is in athletics. I'm very passionate about that. I don't care what it is. It's just go out there and be your best, be the best musician, be the best teacher, go out there and kick some ass. You can't do that when you're tired and in pain. So let's remove that and then believe in it and talk about it. So it's really just to allow people to go out there and thrive and shine and be who they're really meant to be, because you know who you are, you know who you're supposed to be. And we all have that little light inside of us. So if we can let that shine and just remove obstacles, that's really what it's about for me. It's just facilitating that, and then just go out there, man, and kick some ass. And that's really what it is. That's why I do this every day.
Yeah, and that's why we need people to come into healthcare so we can kick ass. Absolutely. You know, and so we can change. Yeah. Rob, give me your motivational speech for those everyone that's listening right now that wants to become a healthcare professional.
Students. Yeah, all medical students,
high schoolers. Yeah. Any mom that's listening that wants to, you know, that wants to take care of their family, any dad that wants to build a garage gym, any kid that is taking SAT scores to get into or MCATs, why should they come into healthcare? Why is it so exciting to be part of healthcare right now?
Man, you know, to be honest, I've told more people in the past probably couple months that, you know, there's so much opportunity now in healthcare. And guess what? It doesn't have to require MD. And just health coaching, going into naturopathic medicine, becoming a PA, and you know, all of these things, we spoke about it. You know, functional integrative medicine is available to anyone, whatever your background and training. And realistically, going through the rigorous training of as an MD, maybe that's not the route that fits for you. But guess what? There's so many other ways that you can help people and actually probably be a bigger impact than people. Both lives. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like without having a health coach or a nutritionist who really knows the insides and outs of a paleo diet or a functional diet, working with a personal trainer who's aligned with a physician, who's a yoga instructor, who teaches mindfulness or does meditation, someone who does biofeedback. I mean, I look at them and I'm, you know, those are the people I've surrounded myself in the community. It's like, you are the healers. You are the people really teaching, bringing wellness. No, the people with MD after their name oftentimes come forward and say like, yeah, I'm making decisions. That's what MD stands for. I'm the decision maker. And realistically, they're actually negative facilitators. They're oftentimes kind of leading us down a path. They're good intentions, but often leading patients down a path that cannot be as nourishing. And so there's just so much opportunity out there. And no matter what area you get into, know that you can ultimately craft and become the healer you want to be. So you may be in one particular system, you may be given one particular education if it's needed, but you have freedom yourself to go, to find these other resources, to read about, to align yourself with people in your community. And I mean, if I had to be stuck in an insurance model or would have to join a hospital system, like some of the residents I've worked with feel like they're kind of stuck, that's the only thing available, then yeah, you know, I probably wouldn't go into medicine. That would be if I knew. But the fact that I know, like, I can be an entrepreneur, I can, you know, align with people in my community with all these backgrounds and really bring wellness and serve others, serve that greater intention, then I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I don't care about $200,000 in debt. No, I just have that leading me. I have that, you know, have that guide. And so don't let sort of the quagmire of this unknown about health insurance and or what, you know, maybe traditional MDs say, like, if I had known this 20 years ago, I wouldn't have gotten into it. You know, it's just so not true. We are at an age of renewal, rebirth, and there's so many areas that you can help. And I just, from being in medical school, you do not have to go the MD route to change people's lives. And perhaps going some other route, you can actually be a creative facilitator of positive change.
You know, I like to say that going into healthcare requires long days, but it's short years. And you know, this journey, it feels like it was yesterday that I decided to apply to naturopathic medical school, and I'm about to graduate. So anyone out there listening, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a healer, if you go for it, now is the time. The wave is about to crash, and this is not a moment, it's a movement. And you need to jump both feet in and let's really change the world. Guys, such a great interview. How can we get a hold of you guys? Social media websites, where can we find you?
Yeah, so we put on the resource, you can get in touch. I have my email. I have also some of my, called my kindness propaganda. So I do have a blog where you can follow and a weekly newsletter. I think there's also a link to just learn more about our practice, Melanie's practice, and we're going to be also coming out. Melanie's really been working hard on developing some other clinician training to make that more accessible through PINTAD Integrative Health. And so she'll be launching a page pretty shortly, kind of describing the initiative behind that and bringing that out to people. So those are some venues to get in touch with this.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, I, I'm currently practice in a family practice called Downtown Family Healthcare in Virginia, and I blog on that website. And then PENTAD Integrative Health should be up and running in about a month and a half. So I'm developing all the curriculum right now. So that's coming really soon.
I wish I knew where I actually was going to be. It's funny, I'm not sure when this is going to come out, but we have this crazy match day in medical school. We find out where we match a residency. So yeah. I wish I could tell you now where I'm going to be. I have some inklings of an idea, but hopefully it will, I'll know actually where I'll be starting next summer being a family medicine resident.
Beautiful. So, you know, right. I want to do this. I want to do in maybe 6 months, 8 months, I want to open it to Facebook. Tell everyone out there that is inspired to become a health professional. And if they have questions about how did you handle family life and going to medical mm-hmm. school, or any questions that they have about mentorships, or, you know, we'll open it to them and we'll just answer questions for half an hour to an hour. Thank you so much for giving
Absolutely.
Me this interview.
Thank
you guys
you.
Are awesome. And I am so proud to be, you know, just shoulder to shoulder with you guys.
Thank you so much.
Love to have you in the tribe, man.
Yeah.
This has been so much fun.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.